Can I do the thing that actors do?
Action.
Badger Cast number 28.
Straight from southeastern Wisconsin, bringing you your slice of Badgerland. Welcome to Badger Cast. And now your host, Julie and Dale.
Hey, a freak show.
Hello, welcome to Badger Cast, your slice of Wisconsin life.
I'm Julie.
And I'm Dale. And I'm not sure which is worse, trying to get ready to go to work during a blizzard or blizzard-like conditions, according to the weather, or trying to get ready for this podcast.
I know the answer. None of those. I drove in that weather yesterday, only to be told we don't need you, and had to drive right back home.
Well, welcome to all of our listeners. We had a snowstorm.
Yeah, it wasn't a blizzard. It was the first significant snowstorm.
Yeah. Well, it was 10 inches or so. What do you think? 10 inches or more?
Oh, no. It was only about 5 or 6.
It was 5 or 6 here?
5 or 6 here. I don't think it was higher than that. Other areas may have gotten a little bit more.
Madison had 17 inches of snow.
We did not have 17 inches of snow. Now, granted, yesterday it felt like that to me because when I drove in, it was windy, swirling, right at you, no plows out. Trying to find your way to stay on the road was a little difficult. I think I went top speed, maybe 20.
Ah.
It took me twice as long to get to work. The people that are in the background here waiting to talk need to stop with all the extraneous noise, though.
Okay, we have little badgers to talk about Vancouver in a little bit. I know when I went to work today, it took about 10 minutes more.
That's it?
And I was happy that, the kids didn't have school today.
No, they did not. It was the first snow day of the year.
First snow day of the year that they will regret come mid-June when they are in school, when it's hot outside, and they ask, why do I have to go to school today? Because you got off in December.
Oh, no, Papa. They allow for at least 2.
I know, but we had 5 last year.
Yeah, but it's not last year. So right now, the end of school still stands as what it's scheduled to be. Now, granted, between now and May, if we have more than 2 other snow days, then we might be extending school.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hopefully tomorrow will be at least no snow, but it'll be cold.
Hmm.
This was really over. It was kind of an overhyped blizzard.
Of course it was. They had nothing else to talk about.
We did get significant snow for the first snow.
Mm-hmm. And it was not without its problems today, digging out.
Yeah. I don't think we got so bad. Other places in the country got a lot worse.
Got a lot worse, yeah. Well, the only problem for me today was that the snowblower didn't start right away because somebody took the key out.
Well, I took the key out so it wouldn't get lost over the summertime.
Hmm.
So,
I had left it in so it wouldn't get lost. Hmm.
So you did find the key.
Found the key, but then it still didn't want to start.
Yeah, well, it had old gas in it.
No, it had gas. I added gas.
Okay.
I think it was the spark plug, but neighbor Ron came over, looked at it, and I don't know what he did with the spark plug. He took it out. I don't know if he cleaned it off or if he replaced it or what. But after that, it probably took us a good 30, 40 seconds.
What gas did you put in?
Whatever was sitting on the shelf in the red can.
Oh.
Was it old gas?
Well, it was not only maybe a little old, but yeah. It was 2-cycle gas. And you put it in a 4-cycle engine. I hope you didn't put too much in.
Well, no. It was regular gas.
No, I didn't have any regular gas left over. The only stuff I had was for the chainsaw and the weed whacker, which is 2-cycle.
Oh. Well, it worked, but it took like 30 to 40 seconds after futzing around with the spark plug of continually pushing the electric starter for it to kick over.
Well, I can understand why if you got oil in your gasoline.
You need to mark your containers, dear.
Anyway, I did go out after I got home from work and bought more gas, regular gas.
Regular gas? Okay.
So.
But it was nice because while we were trying to get the snowblower started, Josh and I shoveled probably half the driveway. And that was hard, wasn't it, Josh?
I helped.
Because.
Yes, it was.
Because it was heavy, wet snow. And I'm glad that the snowblower was working by the time we hit the end of the driveway, because there's no way we would have made it through all the ice chunks and stuff from the snowplow coming through.
I know. I after I got home and got the gas, there was still a little bit left over. He either came through.
He must have come through again.
Yeah. Or there was some chunks that you didn't get.
No, he must have come through again because it was clean.
Okay. And I had to push some of that stuff over, and it was thick, heavy, yucky, heart attack inducing snow.
Yeah. Glad I wasn't at work today.
So
what's next? How long has it been since we did a cast?
Like 2 weeks, maybe?
2 weeks.
So it's been...
But what's been going on in 2 weeks?
What's been going on with you?
Well, I forgot to call for my birth certificate.
Oh, no, we got to hold on to that for the Vancouver segment.
Okay, hold on. Let me check the calendar here. 2 weeks since we did a cast, huh? Well, we did a cast, when was that, before or after Thanksgiving?
Right after Thanksgiving.
Right after Thanksgiving. I don't remember. Had we been to the orthopedic doctor by
that
point?
No, we were going to go.
Okay, so Ben and I started off at the orthopedic doctor on the 30th, and Mr. Ben here is out of commission for 12 weeks. The first four, or five I should say, till January 6th. He has a short leg cast on and no weight bearing on crutches. And now we have snow.
Do you have any comments, Ben, about living in a cast? You got
to
talk.
Step up to the mic. He's shaking his head. No.
No. All right. Is it a pain? Yes.
Well, you have to say yes, Ben.
All right. They don't understand yes and up and down and side to side.
Yeah, so he's doing quite well on his crutches. And then after January, he gets the walking boot, the Cam Walker, put on for another, 7 weeks? And then we'll see where's at.
All right.
Yeah.
We should talk about our trip to the mall. Ben and I went to the mall.
You did.
On Saturday.
Oh, yes, you did. You had a lot going.
Yes, and we went and we were looking for Christmas presents.
You were?
Yes. And we went first off to Delafield because I wanted to look for something at a store. Delafield's like one of those little towns where they have all those little shops and they have some nice restaurants and stuff. Not so much anymore.
What do you mean, not so much?
You know those nice buildings that used to have all these little shops that you had to be rich to go into and afford?
Yeah.
Not so many shops anymore.
So they're like closed or they...
Well, the Lang store's gone.
No.
Yeah.
Lang moved, huh?
Lang is... No, I mean, not only moved, they're trying to sell the building.
Oh, wow. He and Lang pretty much spurred that whole... Downtown Delafield redevelopment.
Right. Then I was looking for other stores, and there was a restaurant that you and I used to go to and had a nice dinner occasionally when we got a sitter for the
Jessica's.
Kids. Not anymore.
Not anymore.
It's like a lunch diner type place now. We won't be going to that place anymore.
I don't think so.
And then so we couldn't find what we wanted there. And then we went to Brookfield Square.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of funny because,
Ben's crutches. On crutches.
He's on crutches. And he's like, he would whine. It's like, do we have to go all the way over there? Do we have to walk all the way to Boston store? And it's like, yes. So he gets to Boston store. He sits in front of Boston store on a bench. And I go in the Boston store and look around. And I come out and we go all the way to Sears. And then I look in Sears and he's waiting.
But for those of you who are not there,
that's
Boston
one side
store
of the mall.
To the Sears is going across the whole mall.
Yeah. Our main goal, which we weren't able to find, was stockings.
Yeah, they're kind of elusive. I looked too this week.
So anyway, we went to Sears, and guess who is at Sears?
I don't know. Who was at Sears?
Leroy Butler.
You got to step up to the mic.
And who is Leroy Butler?
A former Packer.
Former Packer cornerback. Number 36, Leroy Butler, who was, I believe, on the
Super Bowl team.
So for a small fee, you could get something autographed and a picture. And what did you have autographed, Ben?
My hat.
What kind of hat?
A Packer hat.
Oh, come on. You got to step up to the mic.
And then we got a picture of Leroy Butler and Ben, which will be the show art for this episode. So that was our brush with Packer greatness. So what have you been up to?
Not much else. Worked out.
Shopping.
Had a really, really, really bad week at work last week.
Yes, and if you want to hear about Julie's bad week at work, you were on the bear crawling show on Friday.
I was. We were, and I can't think of what episode that is, but it will be posted on the feed.
I think it's like 117, but I'm not sure. But I will link to it in the show notes at badgercast.com. We can't delay this anymore.
No, we have kids who need to get the heck out of here and go to sleep.
So,
it's time for the new segment. There we go.
The Trek to Vancouver segment of the BadgerCast.
Mm-hmm.
So this time we've asked the little Badgers, Josh, Ben, and Olivia, to come up with questions for those in Vancouver or Washington or anybody else.
Anybody who's been around and has been there and can give them either suggestions or answers to their questions.
Because this will be the first time they've ever gone significantly far away.
They've never been anywhere besides a car with us. Probably the farthest they've gone is to Minneapolis with us.
Well, Fort Wayne.
It doesn't count.
It doesn't count. That was a six-hour car drive. I think that counts.
Well, so was the car ride to Minneapolis when we were camping.
Yeah.
That's its own little pain-in-the-butt trip we took. Anyway, so I asked them to write down three questions that they had. Okay. Now, we're going to start with Olivia.
Yay! Okay.
Since she wrote them down first.
So, Olivia.
What?
Hold on. What's your first question?
What hotel?
No, you got to talk into the mic here.
What hotel are we staying at?
Well, that's a yes and a no question. Because we will probably be staying in a hotel when we're in Seattle. So I don't know yet because I haven't made those reservations. But when we get to Vancouver, I believe that the spa people have offered to host us while we're there, and I have said yes.
There's a spa?
No.
I think they...
That would be... Spa people refers to Crystal and Rod and their two kids, Brody and Brianna.
Ah.
I think they do have a pool, but it may be a little bit too cold in April to go swimming in their pool.
I don't think... That's not on the top of my list of things to do. Okay. So, that's question one. What's your next question, Miss Olivia?
I can't. How long is the plane going to get us to Vancouver?
Well, I don't know. And we'll probably, at this point, we haven't made plane reservations either. But I guess the plan is to go on the plane to Seattle And then from we would drive from Seattle to Vancouver.
Or Mom's toying with the idea of a train from Seattle to Vancouver.
Well, I usually bring Congo Keys heater mascot, and Mom said he was going to dress him up.
Yeah, we could dress Congo up.
Okay, who is Congo?
Okay, I'll go get him.
She's a little excited, huh?
Yes. All right, while we're waiting for Congo, the mascot, Josh, why don't you step over here and ask your question or two.
What kind of stuff are there?
You mean what things there are there to do?
Yep.
Well, I know that Manager John will call in with the one that I'm talking about, and he can call in and give us more info on it, but he said that there's a hike called the Gross Climb. It is a almost upward staircase-like hike that takes about 2 hours.
I think we'll touch base on that in the voicemail segment of the show.
Sure. And Mom is willing to do this. I don't know about you guys, but I am.
Okay. Do you have another question, Josh?
Is there a chocolate place?
Is there a chocolate place in Vancouver?
I'm thinking the answer would have to be yes, and I think Crystal will have an answer to that one, because she was talking about chocolate last week.
Chocolate.
Okay, you have your last question, Josh?
Yep. Is there a bookstore in Vancouver, Seattle, or British Columbia?
Oh, come on. What do you think?
Yes.
All right. Are there any... Maybe let's change the question. Are there any like unique types of bookstores in British Columbia, Vancouver, or Seattle?
That sounds like a fair question.
Yeah, like I know like in Milwaukee they have the Renaissance Books, which is a really rare and old bookstore. Mm-hmm. So that's a good question. All right, Ben.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any questions regarding the upcoming trip?
You need to get close to the mic.
Yeah, I have one particularly to that bacon person.
Bacon person?
That would be Dave from the Jen and Dave show.
And Dave doesn't live in Vancouver, so you sure you want to ask him this question?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Have you ever had any Canadian bacon?
Well, we'll have to find out.
Let's see if Dave calls in to tell you the answer to that one, okay?
Okay. So...
Well, hold on. Miss Olivia came back with
Congo.
Congo.
Mascot!
Her stuffed animal monkey.
Congo is a black with a brown face, ears, feet, and hands. Little thing. What is he here? He's from the Beanie Buddies collection.
Okay. Well, I'll try to put a picture of Congo maybe on our Facebook fan page.
Sure.
Do
you have one more question?
I got three more.
One more. You pick one. You can do that. One. Which question are you going to ask?
Does Vancouver have a museum?
I don't know. I haven't looked at Vancouver Museum yet, but I know Seattle has a aviation museum we're going to go see.
All right. Awesome. Okay.
Isn't that an astronomy museum?
Can I read that?
Which one? The one in Vancouver or the one in Seattle? It might have some stuff to do with astronomy, but I think from what I know, most of it has to do with the aviation because that's where Boeing is, and they make the planes.
All right. So, last question.
No, I had two more.
No, you had that last one.
All right. So, let's... I have one last question.
Okay.
Okay. You had mentioned that you still haven't gotten your... birth certificate.
No, because
I haven't gotten mine either. For those Americans who have traveled to Vancouver recently, how long did it take for you to get your passport? Now, I've heard rumor from talking to people around that it's up to a 3-month process. If you don't pay for like an expedited passport?
I don't know, but my list now means that we get this done before the end of the year.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe even before Christmas.
We'll see what I can do next week.
Mm. All right. So, that is...
Because we're kind of busy this weekend.
Which we can talk about in
next
a little
show.
Bit.
Next show. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, yes.
So, is that the end of the Trek to Vancouver segment, people?
Not yet.
Okay.
Go, Vancouver!
Does anyone know where they could find a really good book? Because I might read it for my reading logs.
That's
a good question, Josh. What kind of book would you read to familiarize yourself with Vancouver or places to see?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good question.
We'll
have to work on that one, okay?
Hey, can I do a cheer?
No, cheers. How about you guys all say goodnight?
Go, Vancouver! Love Kangaroo.
Well, why don't we take a break after that?
I think so.
And we will do that with a song from the PodSafe Music Network at music.mevio.com. It's an oldie, but a goodie. And it's from American Heartbreak. And it's the greatest Christmas song ever on the BadgerCast. From the PodSafe Music Network, that was Michael Butler's American Heartbreak with I Will Be Alone. I can't remember what it was now.
Oh, you're funny. It'll be in the show notes.
It'll be in the show notes. It is the greatest Christmas song ever. Sorry. It was so memorable, I forgot the, the title.
Now, you reminded me of something that I forgot that I've done in the last 2 weeks.
And that is?
We have a big family Christmas party coming up on Saturday.
Yes, the annual expected to be at Christmas party that we've only gone to three times in 25 years.
Yeah, well, it conflicted with a lot of other stuff. Anyway, the first year that we took the kids was 3 years ago.
Right.
And I was what? Upwards of 210, 215.
I never asked.
Yeah, well, that's what I was. Last year when I went, I was somewhere around,
Not as big. Not so much.
Not so much. So somewhere around whatever 40 pounds less was, is whatever. This year, I will be going, and I am down 77 pounds. So I thought, for me, I was going to buy a really nice dress and shoes. And I have.
Yes, she has.
I've bought, or have bought, I should say. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, some of them you've posted on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead.
V-neck, or I should say V-front, V-back, purple, slinky, shiny dress. And, I don't know, it comes to at my knee?
Something like that.
And then the kick-ass shoes that I got to go with it are pretty much...
What are they, 5-inch heels?
Well, they measure 5 from the top of the heel to the bottom, but you got to remember they're kind of a platform thing, too, so they're probably 4-inch platforms. They're high.
Very high.
Mm-hmm. And I've been wearing them around the house the last couple days to get used to them. Even tried dancing in them today.
Yes, you did.
Didn't do so bad.
No, you didn't.
Mm-mm. But they're fun. They, I don't know what to say.
You have to talk into the microphone.
I'm trying and reaching for the shoe at the same time. They have like the normal, you know, little strips across the foot. They're open toe. But the main part of the shoe is big wide V strap that goes up and around. And they zip up the back of the heel. And then they have these black round stony things all over them.
Okay.
They're fun. Mm-hmm. So I bought that and did that.
All right.
And I'm sure somebody will get a picture of me all dressed up on Saturday.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Besides that, we got something in the mail.
Yes, we did.
And the lovely Lorna.
Hold on.
Why?
Because this is now a segment.
Oh.
This is the British. The British segment. Of the Badgercast.
Okay.
So it's got its own intro.
I didn't know you had a name and an intro for it.
Well, I got an intro.
Okay.
Wanda, do you have any idea what it's like being English?
Actually, we don't. That's why we have the British segment.
Okay.
And this is courtesy of?
Lorna. And I'll read you a little bit of the letter I got. Hey, Julie. Hey, Dale. As soon as I saw this little gem of a book, I just knew it would be the perfect gift for some of my podcasting friends. I know there are a few times when the things I say need a little interpretation, so this couldn't be better, and you should get a giggle out of it, too. The author, Chris Rae, that's R-A-E, is a super guy. He's an expat like me, now living in the U.S. He's been kind enough to help me out by sending this directly to you himself. Us Brits are a pretty good... Us Brits are pretty good that way, you know. Of course, any promotion, blah, blah, blah. So, the name of the book is called The Septic's Companion, A Mercifully Brief Guide to British Culture and Language. And I have to say that they are brief because this book measures maybe a quarter of an inch.
Okay.
But, as I look through it, it's really a cool book. The first part, gives you a little short blurb about the author, and I'm pretty much going to do a little segment out of the book for the next several segments, as long as it takes us to get through it. The first part has different tips, for lack of a better word, and then the last part of it is an A to Z dictionary of sorts that lists certain terms and what they truly mean. So I will do one word today, but I will do the first part of the book here, which is the introduction. Like many other successful intercontinental jet setters, I once started to compile a list of British words which seemed to be unfamiliar to Americans. My personal website was disappointingly lacking in content, so to bolster it, I posted my big list of words up there. Strangers began sending me emails whining about the inaccuracies and blatant lies I'd incorporated, as though I were being paid to keep it up to date or something. Whilst pacing the living room trying to think of some way of making money, I couldn't help thinking that the fine website of mine, surely that must be worth something. Well, here it is, fingers crossed. Throughout this book, I've used English terms and spelling. The upside is I hope that you get some sort of context for a lot of words to find in the dictionary. The downside is that looking up a word may result in you looking up another or two. You'll have to live with that. Your time is cheap to me. So that's the first part of the introduction. So I think I'm just going to go A to Z. So we will start with an A word. Let me get to A here.
Would it be A to Z?
I don't know. Somebody will have to call and tell you that. That would be Lorna. Okay. Now, there's no pronunciation here, so I'm assuming I pronounce this right. It's abseil, A-B-S-E-I-L. To dangle oneself from a cliff at the end of the rope. In the U.S. military, abseil is used to distinguish face-out dangling from the more conventional face-in rappelling, but civilian Americans know the whole dangling business as rappelling. The word is apparently derived from the German abseilen, meaning simply to rope down. Those crazy Germans and their crazy language.
All right. To abseil is to repel.
No. To abseil is to dangle oneself from a cliff at the end of the rope.
I hope you weren't face paying down.
You were not paying attention.
Hello!
Okay. So, there's our British segment. Thanks, Lorna.
And that goes right into the Cheesehead Spotlight.
Which is your turf.
Yes, it's my turf this week. The Cheesehead Spotlight is, the past couple of weeks has been about places.
Uh-huh.
But this week it's about a person.
And who is that person?
The person is Aldo Leopold.
I don't know who that is.
Okay. Along with John Muir, Aldo Leopold became a leading voice of conservation and naturalism, not only in Wisconsin, but around the world. Aldo Leopold was born in Burlington, Iowa in 1887. He graduated from Yale Forest School and worked for the U.S. Forest Service in Arizona and New Mexico. He was transferred to Wisconsin in 1924. Once in Wisconsin, Leopold continued and refined his ecology studies and his philosophy of conservation. In 1933, Leopold was appointed to the Professor of Game Management at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Leopold is considered the father of modern wildlife management, which seeks to maintain biodiversity by balancing the needs of wildlife with the needs of humans. Leopold took his theories of conservation literally to the fields by initializing an ecological reclamation project at an old worn-out farm near Baraboo. There he planted thousands of trees, restored prairies, and documented the restoration of flora and fauna. He was a prolific writer, authoring professional journal articles as well as articles for popular magazines. In 1933, Leopold wrote Game Management, the definitive textbook on the subject at the time. It is the basis for many of the game and hunting practices utilized today. Shortly before he died in 1948, Leopold wrote A Sand Country Almanac, a collection of essays on nature and conservation. It is considered one of the most respected books about the environment ever published. One of the well-known quotes from the book, which clarifies his land ethic, is, "A thing is right when it tends to preserve the integrity, stability, and beauty of the biotic community. It is wrong when it tends otherwise." Leopold died of a heart attack on April 21st, 1948, while fighting a grass fire on his neighbor's property that threatened his own and neighboring farms. In November 2007, the Wisconsin legislature and Governor Jim Doyle signed legislation naming the Wisconsin Trail System the Aldo Leopold Trail System. The 42-state trails covers 17,028 miles in all regions of the state. And it is a fitting tribute to a man dedicated to the natural world and the state of Wisconsin.
One question.
Yes?
Are these biking trails or hiking trails?
Hiking trails.
Hiking trails. Okay.
So that's our Cheesehead Spotlight. I'll put some of the sources I got it from in the show notes. Excuse me.
Yeah. And you'll also put a link to Chris Ray's site.
Yes, I will.
Okay.
All right. So, Julie, what have you been reading?
Lots of stuff. You want me to tell you what they are, don't you?
No, I just want to take a breath. I'm not used to reading a page at a time, okay?
Uh-huh. Well, the two of the books I've read recently, one is by Linda Howard called Kiss Me While I Sleep. It is, let's see, where's the little blurb on the back of the book? Efficient and unapologetic, Lily Mansfield is a hired assassin working as a contract agent for the CIA. Her targets are the powerful and corrupt, those who can't be touched by the law. Now she's playing a deadly unauthorized game, seeking her own vengeance, compromising her superiors, and endangering her life. Fellow CIA agent Lucas Swain is brought in. His orders, either bring her in or bring her down. Yet he's too drawn into the game with her, dancing a tightrope, trying to avoid a major international incident while battling a tenacious foe, dodging their every step. So, that's that one. Of course, there's the normal romance stuff that goes with it. And then the other one I picked up, it's one of the Harlequin Intrigue books. It looks like it's the first book in what looks to be a short series here. This one is by Amanda Stevens. It's called Maximum Men. And the back little blurb says, test subject, Jack Maddox, ability, precognition, weakness, Claudia Reynolds, the one woman who he would risk his life to save. It goes on to say he had little memory of who he was or where he had been, but the images that kept flashing through his mind meant computer genius Claudia Reynolds was headed for danger, and only he could rescue her. So they end up in the remote South Dakota woods, and it is their tale of how they get out of whatever jam that they're in.
Okay. Cool.
It's a quick read. It's fun. I didn't say it was American literature at its best.
Oh, okay.
We need fun books.
It's a Harlequin, isn't it?
I said it's a Harlequin. Okay. I started off by saying it was a Harlequin.
All right. I was preparing for our voicemail segment.
Oh.
And we got a feedback from...
You haven't told me any of this. These are like brand spanking new to me.
No, I think you've heard this one from our friends at the Gagged Manager podcast.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Manager John and
Charlene.
Hey guys, it's Manager John and
Gag.
And we have some comments for you about the latest show. We have experience with some allergies in the household here too.
Well, I used to be allergic to dairy and eggs and seafood and all nuts, but now I've outgrown everything except for peanuts and cashews.
So she says. See, I love my peanuts.
I
love my nuts. So I just laughed
off. Yeah, you love your nuts, I know.
But you know what? And she says she's still allergic to peanuts.
And I am.
I don't think she is.
I have to take Benadryl too.
Yeah, but that's just for cold, isn't it?
Benadryl is for peanut allergies or whatever.
Oh, you're not allergic to peanuts. You're just,
yes, I am.
She's like your sister. Your sister says she's allergic to fish. She just doesn't like fish.
No.
But luckily, though, puking is not really part of our what goes on around the house.
All right, I gotta stop.
Why?
Okay, I believe Charlene is allergic to peanuts.
Yes, that's what she said.
I was allergic to peanuts.
Yes, you were.
And yes, Benadryl does help.
It should. It's an antihistamine.
Especially after you puke and you have the anaphylactic shock.
Well, no.
And the rash.
Hold on. There is a difference between anaphylactic shock and a rash from an allergy. Anaphylaxis means that you can't flip and breathe, or your heart rate and your blood pressure go down.
Okay.
Significantly.
When I had my peanut allergy when I was a kid, I had that and the rash.
Okay, so you truly have the worst case scenario. Benadryl ain't going to do shit for that. Epinephrine might help you.
Well, that they didn't have EpiPens when I was...
No, they had emergency rooms where you went to get the epinephrine.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I believe you.
I believe her, too.
Only go to parties. Company parties, I might
add. Well, actually, the cat's job is to belch all over the floor.
Yeah, that's disgusting. But that's what we have a carpet cleaner for.
Stupid cat.
But, yeah, the allergy, only food allergies we have are peanuts.
And cashews.
So she says.
Shut up.
Anyway, the other thing you mentioned was sheep's head.
Crystal, manager John, Lorna, do you guys know of sheep's head? Yeah, I am very cutthroat when it comes to sheep's head.
Yes.
Yes, I've heard of sheep's head. I've never played it. When I was in high school, I was part of a euchre table. And I've since forgotten how to play that. But I do remember sheep's head as well. It's not a very common game up here. Not that I know of.
I don't remember it.
I've played it. I know of it. And your trip.
Okay, everyone ready? Will you sing with me, standing in unison?
I think Trek to Vancouver is a better name than...
I agree.
You're such a doorknob.
But Trek to Vancouver is a good idea, and we really look forward to that trip, so we want you to come on up. I'm sure we can show you the sights. Yeah,
definitely.
What would you want them to see?
All the Olympic sites. All the Olympic stuff that we have going on here.
Yeah, but the Olympics will be over by then.
Yeah, but they can still see some of the stuff around.
Yeah, I guess so. But what else? I mean, there's a lot of things to do here in Vancouver. We can get Julie, the and always enterprising person, to do the grouse grind.
Oh, no.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Julie, you should Google grouse grind and see what that's all about, and we should do it. April would be a good time to do it.
Eat up at the restaurant up there. It's a little expensive, but it'd be nice to...
Does that mean I have commitment from you to do the grouse grind, too?
I've already done it a few times with you.
Oh, have you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's okay, never mind.
You know, with my family, too.
Yeah, like, there's a... Grouse grind goes right up Grouse Mountain, which there's a ski resort up there. It's got some good food.
Yeah, it does. Expensive food, but really nice.
Yeah, but then there's also Harbor Tower.
The Harbor Tower restaurant, yes, the rotating one. Maybe that one would probably be cheaper than the grouse grind. Not by a heck of a lot, but cheaper.
Yeah. So there's lots of things for you to do up here, so we can't wait to be a part of that. I guess that's all we have to say.
Well, actually, the beef allergy and that meatloaf.
Oh, yeah.
The lentil loaf.
I think a suggestion about the beef allergy. Although I think you already said the kid's already gotten past that.
Well, there's the... up here, we have a vegetable ground round, or veggie ground round, as it's called. And
it actually tastes good.
Yeah, it looks like ground beef. You can cook it like ground beef, and
it looks pretty good, yeah. We thought of that when you guys mentioned that your number one was having the...
Beef allergy.
And I know you said he got over it in about a year or so, but that came across, and Charlene said that in the car, and that was a good idea. So we decided to mention it. Maybe one of your other listeners has
a beef allergy.
Beef allergy, yeah. I guess that's all we have to say.
Yep.
Okay. Good show, guys. We'll
see
talk to you later.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
He's a great white noise. Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off, you posers.
Beauty. Thanks, guys.
That was fun. And yes, I will join you on the gross grind.
Will you eat at the top of the hill?
Maybe not. I'm thinking, depending on how hard this is, you may have to find something else to do with the kids.
Perhaps.
We'll see.
Well, that's all the feedback this time.
Okay.
Well, we've only been
2 weeks, I know.
So if you'd like to send a comment via email, you can at thebadgercast@gmail.com.
Or you can get a hold of me through Twitter or Facebook. Or you can get a hold of me at donttickleme@gmail.com.
And you can get in touch with me at Skype or Facebook or Twitter, The Philosophy Guy. And at philosophyguyshow@gmail.com. And, of course, you can always call the Badger Cast voicemail.
And that number?
Which hasn't been used a lot lately.
No, but I found a way to put that number in here so I would not forget it. Now, where did it go?
Now, if she lost her iPhone, she'd be dead.
Yeah, but now it's not here. Hold on a second. Darn it, where did I put it? Ah!
It is.
Stop it.
1-262. 649.
649.
8550.
8550. But now I don't remember where I put it in here.
Okay.
Stop it.
So, we will leave you with another Christmas song because
I like Christmas songs and it's Christmas time.
And it's Christmas time. And if we don't talk to you before Christmas,
have a very Merry Christmas.
This is, again, from the PodSafe Music Network at music.mevio.com. Isla Brown and Grown Up Christmas List. So, this is Dale.
And Julie.
Merry Christmas.
Do you remember me? I sat upon your knee. I wrote to you with childhood fantasies. Well, I'm all grown up now and still need help somehow. I'm not a child, but my heart still can dream. So here's my lifelong wish, my grown-up Christmas list, not for myself, but for a world in need. No more lives torn apart, that wars would never start, and time would heal all. Was something lovely wrapped beneath our tree. Well, heaven surely knows that packages and bows can never heal a hurting human soul. No more lives torn apart, wars would never start, and time would heal our hearts, and everyone would have a friend, and right would always win, and love would never end. This is my grown up Christmas list. What is this illusion called the innocence of youth? start, and time would heal all hurts. And everyone would have a friend, and right would always win, and love would never end. This is my grown-up Christmas, and this is my holy Christmas wish. This is my grown-up Christmas list.